Well, we are continuing in our series called Change Your Channel, and it's all about shifting our posture, our perspective, and our attitude on something, because so often we can get stuck in mindsets that are not healthy and are not from the Lord, and we find ourselves continuously being defeated in certain areas. And we find that overcoming areas where the enemy has gained ground in our lives, we've talked about the fact that doesn't just happen, that there takes, it's intentionality. We actually have to make choices along the way to overcome. The first week, we talked about the fact that it's time for us to put a stop to certain behaviors. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop agreeing with the enemy. We need to stop the defeatist attitude, and we need to stop choosing death over life. And I'm going to keep repeating those every time we're in this series, because those things are true all the way through, no matter what topic we're referring to. Last week, we talked about identity, and we talked about the fact that our identity doesn't come from what we do, and that we are God's detailed creation. All of us are God's children who've just made that choice to walk in relationship with Him. But we found out He also uniquely crafted us with values, vision, gifts, and calling. And it's important that we actually find out what these are. It's good theology for us to know ourselves and know why God created us a specific way. And the other part of that is we need to resist having our identity shaped by other voices or by agreement with the enemy and his lies. And all the way through this series, I've been giving you these listening prayer exercises to take home. And they have about three questions. And just choose one question from this piece of paper. Get alone with the Lord. Ask Him what He wants to say to you in regards to this area. How many of you had an opportunity? And when I do this, I'm not looking and taking names. I'm saying, are we engaging with the process? Are we taking time to be intentional? It just gives me an idea. Are we moving forward together? Or am I leaving some of you behind? And so this morning, is there anyone who wants to share what they heard from the Lord? And that's okay if not, because we said this is a personal conversation between you and the Lord. However, if you feel comfortable, I also want to give opportunity if there's one or two of you that would like to share. Is there anyone like that this morning? All right, Laura, Dawn, did I miss anybody? Amen. That's a good word. So Laura just preached my sermon here this morning, so we could be done early. I'm just kidding. You're very close. Dawn. Right. That's so good. So if you didn't hear that, she just said just that battle of knowing, is this the Lord speaking? Is it not? And the Lord saying to her, you know what? Every good word is a word from me. You know, because sometimes, well, it's pride. That's just got to be me saying those things to me or whatever. So that's a good word. Thank you. God is so good. So do you notice that every person who spoke was spoken to very uniquely, right? And yet those things tie together. But just again, that uniqueness that God's created us, that way He's created us, and we get to celebrate that. And I'm celebrating this morning too, because as I prayed on Tuesday, I felt like the Lord gave me a topic. And then partway through the week, I thought, no, maybe it's this topic. And so I went back before the Lord on Friday and said, okay, God, show me which one it is. And then I felt really impressed. No, you need to go with what I spoke to you on Tuesday. That was me. And just hearing these confirming words, Rosa, Laura, others, just how He knit all that together. And it's like, oh, Jesus, thank you. I didn't switch. Thank you. I didn't get caught up in my own ideas and thoughts. Well, very exciting. Also, too, I want to acknowledge, you know, there is a chance that some of you came under attack this week in the area of identity. Anyone relate to that? Yeah, me too. It's interesting, right? We just need to be so aware of the enemy's tactics. And I hope that as we walk through this series, that awareness will increase and you'll understand how to bring truth into those situations and not agree with the enemy. Well, today, change your channel on obedience. How many of you press the button? Put those hands up nice and high for me. All right. Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you for being a part of this illustration. I appreciate it. And for those of you who didn't see this, it says right on it, please. Guys, I was even polite and you pressed it anyway. I used manners. Please do not press this button. So, and if you didn't know, that was easy. thank you for playing along. Excuse me. So we've got some crazy rules here. In North Carolina, bingo games cannot last more than 5 hours. Good to know. I'm one of those rule people that, you know, some of you probably when you saw this went, why? Right? Yeah. I need to know why, and then I'll obey. Let's see, what else do we got here? Oh, this is a good one. If you are found stealing soap, you must wash yourself until the bar of soap has been completely used up. That's in Arizona. Seems like a tough consequence and a nice smelling one. Okay, last one. A motorist with criminal intentions must stop at the city limits and telephone the chief of police as he's entering the town. That's in Washington. So I kind of want to dare you the next time you're going down to Spokane to stop at the border and, you know, give a call to the chief of police and say, I feel like I have some criminal intentions. May I proceed? And let me know what happens. Report back. Crazy rules. Obedience isn't easy. Our sin nature is positioned to rebel. And it's very fortunate we have the Holy Spirit in us. But as the saying goes, the struggle is real. Paul addresses this in Romans 7, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage, where he wrestles and he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Right? It's this constant, well, God, I want to obey, but this thing is going on inside of me, and I don't know what to do. What's really happening here? What's happening in all this? And we need to know, because obedience is such a key part of our relationship with the Lord. In the area of being battle ready, which is our theme for this year, a soldier needs to be ready to do what their commander says. So people don't go through basic training and learn this measure of obedience that many of us are not familiar with just because the guy's on a power trip. Now, that might be true in some cases. However, there's more on the line than that. It's about them being in a battle situation, and when the guy says, you need to be here right now, that they're listening because it's their life at stake and the lives of others. Perfect obedience is necessary to preserve their well-being. And can you imagine a battalion or an army group? Sorry, I'm not military-minded. I don't know what those are called. A platoon? A platoon, is that a good word, Pastor Gordon? Okay. All right. A platoon hears from their commander, okay, I need you stationed here, and when I say fire, you fire. Can you imagine if one of them said, excuse me, I really like that idea. Do you think we could go this way and maybe try this? You know, I just want to do something different. It would fall apart, right? The military, as we know it, would just crumble, and we wouldn't feel very safe or protected. To put it in the context of our Heavenly Father, I think of driving lessons, and this cartoon up there says, why, yes, officer. As a matter of fact, I do have a lead foot, and it's the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz driving the car. Ah, very clever. If we liken it to God as our Heavenly Father, I think of driving lessons. When I take my boys out to drive, and that's probably happening this afternoon, so feel free to remember me in prayer as that unfolds. I won't say who. But I often say to them, the first thing when we get in the car after they've kind of gotten situated, I said, if I say stop, I mean stop now. Like, don't, oh, okay, I'll gradually, like, if I say stop now, that's what I mean, because I'm seeing something you're not seeing, and I need you to listen and obey. Obedience is crucial, and we have this wonderful example, many wonderful examples in Scripture of what obedience looks like. This is the story of Abraham in the Old Testament sacrificing Isaac. What incredible obedience. I can't comprehend what that would have been like for Abraham to have that relationship with the Lord where he was willing to do that and had this amazing trust that God would come through. It also looks like David and Goliath. I'm going to obey. I'm going to go defeat this Philistine. Moses in the Red Sea. Can you imagine going out to Kootenai Lake and the Lord saying, I just want you to walk across. I'll part the waters. I'd be waiting for some confirming answers. I'd be checking Google, you know, is this scientifically possible? Those kind of things. Gideon's defeat of the Midianites. Peter's big catch of fish. All of these were acts of obedience. I love this scripture in Acts 13:22. It says, after removing Saul, he, the Lord, made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So often we stop at a man after my own heart. Isn't that great? David was a man after God's own heart. And we miss that part. God says he will do everything I want him to do. I believe God wants to change our channel in the area of obedience today. I want it to be said of me, there's Carolyn. She will do everything I want her to do. Or Brett, he will do everything I want him to do. Gemma, she will do everything I want her to do. And I believe this will bring freedom where Satan's lies tangle us up. And all these heroes of the Bible mentioned had this wonderful level of trust in God that allowed these amazing miracles to occur. And obedience comes from our ability to trust God. So there is a connection in Scripture, and I've gone to famous theologian Buck Denver. Danielle, she knows who that is. This is if you've never watched What's in the Bible by Phil Vischer, great little series, and so he is the Bible guy. And it says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Other translations say, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. But it's connected to 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There's trust in love, and perfect love casts out that fear. It's an exchange that we're talking about today. God is wanting to increase our trust in him more. But it isn't just a matter of praying and say, God, help me to trust you more. It is a matter of giving up something else. And I believe that the opposite of trust isn't doubt. I believe it's control. I believe that the opposite of trust is control. All of these heroes of the Bible had to surrender control to what they believed would have been the best way to do things. There's the Red Sea. Philistines are chasing it. Call in the warship. Let's get everyone on board. Let's float that boat across the sea. All right, defeat the Midianites. I've got 32,000 men. Let's double that. Let's make real sure that we're going to be successful in this battle. They had to give up control and say, I believe that what God is asking me to do to cut this army down to 320 men is going to be the best idea in this moment. They did not rely on their human understanding. In order to trust, we must give up control in areas of our lives where we can continue to say to God, I don't trust you in this area. What could that look like? I think of statements like, and we don't say this to God necessarily. We don't say, God, I will take care of my finances. Thank you very much. But I think our actions often say that. It might be, I will arrange the future for my children. I will change my spouse into who they want to be. I will decide where I want to fit in to the body of Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen someone wearing badly fitting clothes. Please don't point up front this morning. I'm thinking they fit pretty good, but you never know. But, you know, as somebody comes into the body of Christ, well, you know what? I want to be a worship leader, and they've never sung a tune, right? Sometimes it's just like badly fitting clothes. I will not take risks or steps of obedience that don't make sense to me. If you can't answer why, God, I'm not doing it. I will not choose to go further in my faith journey because I like it here. Don't make me change. I will not engage in relationships because I get hurt in relationships. So we have these areas that so often our actions communicate a lack of trust. And that word control, one definition from the Cambridge Dictionary, says to order, limit, or rules something or someone's actions or behavior. So in this case, we're talking about ourselves. Often in an area of control, we are saying, I will order, limit, and rule my actions and my behavior. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know what? That sounds to me like playing God. And you might say, well, that's a little extreme, but is it? Sometimes I think we try to do that in many areas of our life. We say, God, keep out. That's us saying, God, I know better. I can handle this. I've got this figured out. You can't be trusted in this area. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The problem with control, and if you can see this, one side is the control group and the other side is the out of control group. Oh, that was kind of funny. The problem with control, it's born out of fear and insecurity. We limit God's space to do amazing things on our behalf. And the problem with control is it contributes to stagnation. And if you've ever been around a stagnant pond of water, you know that that's not the greatest place to be. You're not setting up your chair and sitting by the stagnant pond and going, isn't this beautiful? As the mosquitoes attack you and the smell wafts up from underneath. We go, oh, let's go down to the river, or let's go down to this wonderful lake that has, you know, water flowing in, water flowing out. Obedience and trust requires forward motion. And to me, control means nothing changes, that nothing's applied, that nothing's moving us forward. I think of, just to give an example in our culture, in our world, what's happening right now, the coronavirus. So practically, it's good for us to listen to the professionals out there and say, okay, have food in your cupboards, make sure you've stocked up on your prescription medication. That's wisdom, right? And that's wisdom in any emergency situation to have that kind of a thing going on. Control happens when we say nobody is going to leave my house because this is out there, right? Where we begin to act out of fear and insecurity. I can't control the world, so I'm going to control my own environment here to keep everybody safe. It's really hard to take a step of obedience when we are maintaining a position of control. And I don't know, we've been big America's Funniest Video fans for years, and I love these videos, you know, where the dog's trying to get in the house and the big log is in its mouth and just keeps trying and doesn't get anywhere. It's hard for us to take that step when we hang on to control in certain areas of our life. And Satan plays into this. He fills our minds with worries and fears. If you sit in a conversation long enough right now about the coronavirus, you start to hear some of that. I wouldn't travel if I were you. I wouldn't go there and do that if I were you. He fills our minds with worries, fears, and the belief that God isn't big enough to work in our lives. And so then our trust diminishes and our need for control increases. And we can't be naive that the enemy won't attack our trust in God. That's exactly what he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Things like identity, things like our trust in the Lord. Because you know what? Then we're starting to focus on ourselves. We're starting to take that control away from the Lord. And we have to come at the enemy with the Word of God, our belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, as Pastor Ed talked about a few weeks ago. And the Word of God says that we can trust him. We can trust everything he does. So what's the answer this morning to this issue of control versus trust? Well, first of all, it's a choice. We have to willingly surrender areas of control to him. It requires honesty with God and yourself. It means saying, yeah, I hang on pretty tight in that area. And it's funny because as I was finalizing this yesterday and putting some finishing slides in and whatever, God said, you're trying to control that area in your life and you can't do it. And I just took a moment and just of repentance and prayer before the Lord and said, you're absolutely right. I've been trying to do that. And like for an hour or two afterward, he just kept bringing back, because, you know, the mind starts to go again. Well, can I? And no, you need to trust me in this area. And so it's being honest with God and yourself. Often it requires facing the past. Sometimes fear, insecurity, a lack of trust come from our past experiences, right? Where we've been hurt, wounded, disappointed, and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that happen again. We've talked about before, friends and I, making vows, how we make vows and say, I'm never going to do that again. There are lies. You know what? He's not trustworthy in your finances. Thank you, Dan, for the word of encouragement you brought to us this morning, especially in these world events. I can go to my financial planner. I can hear their wisdom, or I can go to the Lord who holds the cattle on or owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 33:4 says, the word of the Lord is right and true. We can trust everything he does. It requires us letting go. And as we do, we find greater freedom when we choose to trust instead of maintaining control. We find it easier to obey the Lord's voice when we choose to trust instead of maintain control. So when the Holy Spirit says to Dan, I want you to give $100 more, even in this bad economic situation, he trusts the Lord with his finances and says, yes, I can do that. Because I've seen that I can trust the Lord in everything he does. I will walk in obedience. I trust him in this area. And I know that that takes time and refining. Right, Dan? Yeah. Thanks for letting me use you as an example. We've said this every week. Oh, I've gone really far. Prayer is how we fight our battles. This is how we change this issue of control to trust. I can't come out there and I can come out and cheer you on, but I can't fix it for you. I can't say, give that up, just do it now. It's between you and the Lord. It's him speaking to you. And once again this week, I'm going to ask you to engage in one of these. And I'm going to challenge you again. If you haven't been engaging in this, why not? What are you afraid of? What are you worried about? Do you want to move forward? Do you want to continue to be where you are? And it's not that this is a magical formula. This is not homework. I'm not going to mark you. But at the same time, it's an intentional step saying, God, I'm going to engage in this area. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to allow you to move me forward. And this is an example. I'm going to give you a handout again of listening prayer, of walking through a conversation with the Lord based on a specific question. And the questions this week, will you show me one thing that reminds me of why I can trust you? Sometimes we just need encouragement. Sometimes we need to remember what the Lord has done. Is there an area of my life that I'm still maintaining control of and not trusting you with? Ooh, that's a tougher question, right? Because we're going to have to respond when he answers and says, yeah, it's this. Is there a next step of obedience you want me to take in a certain area of my life? So those are the three questions this week, and I challenge you to pick one of them. If you're a keener, pick all three, but pick one. Take 30 minutes alone with the Lord and just begin a dialogue with him. Write it out. You know, if your initial starts with a C, Connie, you just put a C. I always get this mixed up, and it starts with G, and it's like, no, that's me. So put a C. You know, what is the next step of obedience you want me to do? Wait for the Lord to respond. Write down what he says. Go back and say to him, so God, what does that mean exactly? And then write down what he says. And then just continue the conversation till you feel that sense of peace. Like, yeah, we got somewhere, Lord. You and I, we had a wonderful conversation. Just like when you're out for friends with coffee and you get a sense that, okay, time to be done. But let's change our channel on obedience this morning. And I want to challenge you to do this by surrendering, yielding control to God. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. Stop fighting, stop digging in, and admit this morning your need for the Lord. Obedience comes from a place of trust, not a place of control. God has proven himself again and again to be faithful. And I think if you bring to him that area where maybe you're still hanging on a little too tight, I bet he'll remind you of times where he's come through in times past and said, I've been faithful here. You can trust me again with this. But this morning, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me, and we're going to wait on the Lord to hear how he wants us to respond this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to invite you just where you are now to even ask that question. Lord, is there an area right now in this place you want me to relinquish control of? We're just going to wait a moment and allow him to put that little nudge in your heart and your spirit. And I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And this is going to be a little unusual, but this is what I have a sense the Lord might be saying. I want you to find something on your person, perhaps, or in your purse or whatever, that represents the area where you've been maintaining control. I want you just to put your hand on that. And maybe it's not here. Maybe you need to do this when you get home. Maybe it's just on your heart or something like that. But, you know, if that area is finance, maybe you just need to kind of put your hand on your wallet and say, God, I release this. I yield to you. And I trust you in the area of my finances. If it's a relationship, maybe you know, if you carry a picture or you've got a phone with pictures in it, maybe it's just putting your hand on your phone and saying, God, I yield to you. If it's your time, maybe it's your hand on your watch, but just take a moment, wait on the Lord, and see what he says to you and about how to respond. I'm going to invite you just to repeat after me, but you're going to fill in the blank, okay? Because I can't fill in the blank for you. But dear Lord, I come to you and I yield control over, and just go ahead in your own words, fill in that spot. Lord, I surrender to you. I will trust you. I will trust in your goodness. I will trust in your faithfulness. Lord, help me to be an obedient servant in this area of my life. In your name, amen. So this morning, church, that was a choice. That was something we chose in that moment to do. And so what we're going to do now is just take a moment to worship in closing and just bring that before the Lord and say, God, I'm going to commit that to you. You may have to do it multiple times today, just like I did last night, where it was like, yes, God, right. I'm not taking control of that situation. But I challenge you when that happens, find that thing that represents that area. If you need to just, because sometimes we need something physical to represent something that's happening spiritually. And just bring that before the Lord again.